She'll be entering her 22nd season at Boston College in the fall. 8 Sweet 16s, 3 quarterfinals, 2010 College Cup. She's on the NCAA Regional Advisory Committee, an NSCAA National Diploma Holder, and U.S. Soccer A license. I guess we should call that United Soccer Coaches National Diploma. And also a Master's in Kinesiology, and now an author. The book is How to Coach Girls, and I want to welcome in Allison Foley. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're quite welcome. I was looking up your bio just to review things, and 22 years on the college level. Well, 23, really, I know, but 22 at Boston College, man. Like I said to you before, I was there for that first season, so it's been quite a ride.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So it's obviously a place that's dear to me, and they haven't got rid of me yet, so I guess we'll just keep it going.
Well, you've had great success, a lot of professional players and successful players coming out of your program. But now we have this book, and you know, certainly as you've grown over the years, you ended up giving birth to your daughter, Sydney, and I see that you've dedicated the book to Sydney, and I wonder if having a daughter and then seeing her grow up and now try to participate in sports, was this sort of the inspiration for the book?
You know, it really was, Glenn. She's 15, and I know that you have a daughter that's a little bit older, but you know that age, and just watching the effect that coaches can have on her life really reminded me of what a special opportunity all of us coaches have, regardless of the age, but how we can really be positive influences, not just on their game of soccer, but, you know, in their lives and in their confidence. And it really did. It was really the inspiration of why I wanted to, with the things I was learning as a coach and as a mom of a daughter that plays, it was really my motivation to think about putting the book into print.
I'm curious, did you put your daughter into any environments where you observed and you weren't particularly pleased?
Yeah, you know, I think I can see it always through two sides, through the coach's side of things, through the player side of things, and through the parent side of thing. And there are certainly times where, you know, maybe playing time could have been explained differently and we would add a lot less drama in the household. So, or maybe cliques developed on the team or whatever. And a lot of these things that create a lot of drama on teams and then in families, I think when you can step back and take a look at it as a coach, you know, with some pre-planning, hopefully you can stay away from some of these issues.
All right, let's get to it. Really early stages of the book, you share the statistic. 70% of all kids give up organized sports by the time they reach middle school. But then, and I put this in bold, for girls, they drop out at rates that are 6 times that of boys. That's a pretty alarming figure, isn't it?
It is, and again, that was another reason why I really took a look at this and said, "Wow, like what's going on here?"
So what is going on? What does the current research tell us if there are a lot of things to draw from here?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is pretty simple, but it's intricate to make sure you have it in your program and in your teams. The biggest one is the girls just weren't having fun. And I think coaches, you know, get caught up at any level in results and performance and, you know, where they are in the league and postseason. And girls have to enjoy their moment and girls have to enjoy their experience. And there's different ways we can put fun back in the game. But without that, it doesn't matter how talented kids are. They'll lose their interest if they don't feel that they're having, you know, it's an enjoyable experience. And the other factor is feeling valued. You know, kids have to feel valued and supported to continue wanting to be a part of something. And, you know, I do think that last person on that roster or that player that maybe sees minimal playing time, we can make them love the game and love their experience, whatever sport it is. If we make sure that we're making them feel that they're important and valued.
Yeah, the one thing you indicate is girls need the coach to see them as a whole person, not just a player. So you're really emphasizing that part of it, aren't you?
We are, and I think if you're aware more than just that hour and a half practice, what they're going through, they'll play for you so much more, and they'll feel so much better about being a member of their team. And whether it's you know they're having a tough week from a family dynamic, or maybe you've heard that there was a friendship falling out, or a boyfriend falling out, or a really important test that didn't go their way. When you take a moment to recognize that you understand something outside the playing field was difficult for them, it's amazing how far that will go for them as a human being. And then certainly, as somebody that wants to continue to achieve and play their sport.
We're with Allison Foley. She is the co-author of How to Coach Girls. Now, who is the other co-author, and how did you two get together on this, Allison?
So Mia Wengen is the other co-author, and she is a professional pragmatic.com mom blogger and mother
She's
of
what?
my
What?
daughter's.
She's what?
She's a mom blogger.
Okay.
She is it's called pragmaticmom.com, and she blogs about a lot of just current issues surrounding parenting. But our direct connection is they were our neighbors when we first moved in when Sydney was 4.5 years old, and her daughters Zoe and Allie are now her best friends, and basically through their whole childhood they were in our house. Sydney was down there, and they both played sports as well, volleyball, basketball, soccer, you name it. And whenever Mia, the co-author, the mom, had a concern about something that was going on one of the girls' teams, or something that she wasn't sure was right with the coaches, or just like drama on the team, she would come to me and say, "This is going on in Allie's team, or this is going on in Zoe's team. What should I be thinking, or how can we work this out?" So one day she said, "You've given me so much information on how to coach girls, and we can help people. We can share this information. You've helped me so much. Let's get it out there in a book and help parents and help coaches." And that's how it all started.
Awesome. You just talked about some other sports that you listed in there that the girls were playing, and you have a chapter in the book called Supporting Multi-Sport Athletes, and you classify that 7% of high school athletes move on to college sports. So I'm imagining your point of emphasis is there is why not let them play multiple sports because a majority of them aren't going on to play in college anyway.
Exactly. I'm a big advocate of multi-sport athletes. I think socially it's great to ebb and flow into different groups and have different leaders and different coaches, and obviously from a physiological standpoint, utilizing different muscle groups, giving some muscles a break, and not being a one sport athlete, I think is a really good idea. And the biggest thing is socially, like it's exciting to like look for the next sport and end one thing and then get excited for the next. And I think one of the reasons you see dropout too is burnout. Kids doing one thing year round all the time since 6 years old, it's tough to keep it interesting and exciting.
What do you think about multi-sport athletes that are on the elite level? Do you favor them not specializing? Now you're coaching at a high level, you're recruiting athletes at a high level. I mean, do you ever look at that when you're recruiting a player?
I think it becomes more difficult for that small 2% that are going to play at the elite Division I collegiate level. I think it becomes a little bit more difficult for that population to not specialize. But for the 98% of the rest of us, you might as well, be a multi-sport athlete.
All right, Allison, coaching your own daughter. Now, this is another chapter in the book, and there are countless number of parents who end up in a position to coach their own daughter or son. But emphasizing the girl's side and the daughter's side, what are the special pieces of advice you can give to us from that chapter?
Yeah, if I could offer a couple of, tips, if you will, on that chapter, I would be really clear that the athletic talk and the practice talk is for the field and for that hour and a half, and game talk about is for the game. But once you're in the car and you're driving home, we're talking about nothing about the game, not about performance, not about the team, and really put your parent hat on when you're, when you're driving home and when you're at home. And I think the biggest pitfall is when that line becomes so blurred in your coaching in the car and you're commenting in the car. It's really hard for kids to deal with that. So clarifying, I coach you when it's practice time, and I'm your coach during the game. But I'm your mom or your parent the second that I get into the car, is really, really important. And the other thing is, and it takes some pre-planning to make sure that your child has the same expectations and feels the same expectations as their teammates, because they don't want to feel that they're, given opportunity that they don't deserve, and they certainly don't want to be held to a higher standard. So you're really going to make sure that you're clear with your child that these will be equal expectations, and then you have to follow through with that.
And you had success with your own daughter through that?
Yeah, it's been work in progress. I'll be honest with you, Glenn. We have our good days and our bad days, but I try to, go back to those two primary thoughts and primary tips. And when I go back to those, because, it's emotional, right? Your child's upset or your child's happy. As a parent, it's easy to get caught up in their emotions. And I think that I do try to utilize those two tips. And when I do, we're in a lot better relationship.
We're talking with Allison Foley about her new book, How to Coach Girls. She is the head women's coach at Boston College. Maybe the last one I want to hit on here is cliques, because you brought up cliques a little bit earlier in the conversation. And this is something that could be the downfall of any team. And girls, whether at the youngest ages even, it can be kind of dangerous, and it comes across as rude. And what are your specific tips here now on breaking these cliques up or not allowing them to form in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's almost human nature to flock to people that you're more familiar with or have had longer relationships with, and sometimes the top players might get together and warm up together. So I think as a coach, you really gotta take a hold of how groups are being organized. For instance, we'll do different types of warm ups where we'll say, okay, we want somebody that's from this elementary school to make sure that they found somebody with a different elementary school to warm up with. Or we will say, okay, we need all our spring birthdays over here and our winter birthdays over here and our summer and fall birthdays over here. So we're making the group. So it's changing all the time. And I think that's really important to recognize, because if you simply say partner up, you're really not getting that full effect of everybody getting to know everyone equally. And you will find that certain kids congregate, and maybe they think they're the better kids on the team, and it's hard to form really good balance in team chemistry without really taking control of your environment to making sure that these cliques aren't forming kind of underneath you.
Well, Allison, I really appreciate your time and giving us some insight into this new book of yours, How to Coach Girls. I mean, there are a lot of great things that we couldn't come close to reviewing, but I want to wish you all the best with this, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Glenn. It's great to talk to you again. Thank you so
Yeah, great.
much.